Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everyone. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a great guest for you today, one of my favorites, Christine Wyke. And we are going to be talking about the Occupy Wall Street, the Vatican connection, oh, the end times. And we have so many great topics today. So I'll be bringing my guest on here momentarily. I would... like to let you know also that this is a live call-in show today, and if you have a question, you can call it in to 914-338-1638, or the chat room is open, so I will be checking the chat room during our program, and be looking for your comments. So I'm going to bring my guest on here. Hi, Christine.
Hello, Susan. Thank you for having me once again.
Oh, yes, I love to have you. I always learn so much when you come on the program, and I would like to just get right into it because there's just so many exciting things to talk about today.
Yes, the last month has been quite interesting.
Yes, too much. I'd like to let you all know that Christine is the author of the book Explain This, and it's a verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation. So for all you that have a hard time understanding the book of Revelation, you can get Christine's book, and it's available on Amazon.
Yep, it is, and it's also on the Kindle for those who have that technology available to them for 99 cents.
Wow.
I have a message. I don't care if I make money. I have a message.
Amen. Amen. You do. You really do. So let's get right into it here.
Okay.
Tell us now what you've been working on, and especially this Occupy Wall Street. What really is going on there?
Well, it's kind of a blend of a little bit of everything. As you can tell, a lot of the news reports going on about, of course, it's not just Occupy Wall Street anymore. It's Occupy This and Occupy That. It's spread all over the world. It's almost like wildfire. And everybody, you know, who did the reports on it were like, this group is just not focused. It's not together. It's got this thing going. It's got that thing going. They don't seem to be coordinated. And I find that very far from the truth. I think they are coordinated, and they are working for one agenda, and that is, give me what you got because I ain't got it. To put it bluntly. That could be a number of issues. That could be anything from the grandmother who's worried about her Social Security and her grandchildren's future to the college student wondering how he's paying off his loans. So it's a blend of many different people, but they're all in the same boat with the same agenda, and it's becoming more and more clear now. I need something that you've got,
I don't care how I get it.
Right, and I am upset that I have to have this in my lifetime when you had it better in your lifetime, kind of idea. And,
it sounds like a form of socialism or communism.
Exactly. It's almost a blend of both of those things.
Yeah. They don't realize that anybody that has money or has accumulated any money, somewhere down the line, someone had to work for it.
Right. How about the person who's got his college loan already almost paid for? you know, and says, hey, you know, I've had to work two jobs, or I had to work my entire time in college to make my education pay as I went. I didn't get a loan, you know, I had to work as I went, and I had to be awfully difficult, full-time schedule of school and a full-time schedule of work to make ends meet. But some of these kids here, you know, especially the ones in London, Occupy London, they're complaining because the school's tuition just tripled. And they're like, well,
wow.
You know, I mean, I got to have what my grandmother paid for. And I think that's where, and I can understand their frustration in a way I can. But at the same time, it's like, well, when I was that age, if you didn't have the money, you just didn't go to college. You found something else.
Yeah. It's kind of reminds me of the 60s when we had so many demonstrations, and that's what these Occupy things remind me of. It reminds me of what was happening in the 1960s, the protests. And then it quieted down for a long time. You really didn't see this type of thing. And it was surprising to me how quickly it seemed that these whole things sprung up, because when I first started hearing about Occupy Wall Street, I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I saw it was springing up all over. So, yes, it had to be something that was planned, and it wasn't anything that was a spur-of-the-moment thing. It's definitely somebody's got a plan somewhere. Well, where do you think that this plan came from?
Well, I think, like I said, it's due to the economics that are going on right now, not only in the United States, but everywhere. I mean, I actually think Occupy Wall Street started probably in Greece when the austerity measures started to get into place as Greece started to tumble with its heavy debt. And that's when the workers started rising up against government because their entitlements were being cut, their pensions were cut, they were losing their benefits due to the fact that a budget needed to be met. And that's been going on almost a good year, if not more than that, already in Greece. But I believe it was this mentality that was started by a group in New York who sat there on Wall Street and watched all them suits walking in and out and having a job that was paying $500,000 a year to take other people's money. You can kind of see, you know, their agenda here. They're looking at the haves and going, how come I can't have that? And the movement kind of started there. I mean, that's why it's called Occupy Wall Street. Now, of course, I am not one of those people who sat there, and I don't know their exact mindset, but it's starting now to take a form of going after the elite, these people who make too much money and control the money. But yet they're not, and this is what amazes me, but yet they're not going after these superstars that are coming in to help them. We've got these rock groups that are performing for them. We've got football players that are attending these rallies, and these football players are making $3 million a year. But they don't count. And that's where I scratch my head going, but this is the elite here too. So it's for those kind of people who feel, I believe their frustration is against those people who they feel have a control over everybody else's money. And that's where the Wall Street comes from. So it's basically harbored against employers, people who do provide jobs, these CEOs.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, it's more or less the bottom line. Have-nots going against those who have. And this is where I do see the book of Daniel come into line, because I see very clearly that the Antichrist uses this movement to push an agenda that he has that's shown to us in the Daniel chapter 11.
And what is that?
All right, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you from the Living Bible, because it's better today's language, but the gist of what I'm saying can be found in the King James as well. For the readers, I'm going to start at verse 21 of chapter 11 in Daniel. It's going to be about four verses here that covers it. It says here, next come to power will be an evil man, not directly in line for royal succession. That to me is, this is your Antichrist. We know that, just based on the context of this verse. But during a crisis, he will take over the kingdom by flattery and intrigue. Wow. We are headed to a crisis here in more ways than just Wall Street. I mean, we're headed with almost with everything, even if it's weather or earthquakes. It's just all coming to be a perfect storm. Then all opposition will be swept away before him, including a leader of the priests. His promises will be worthless. From the first, his method will be deceit, and with a mere handful of followers, he will become strong. Verse 24 is the kicker here. He will enter the richest areas of the land without warning and do something never done before. He will take the property and wealth of the rich and scatter it among the people.
Wow.
That is socialism.
Yes.
That is what Occupy Wall Street wants. And that, to me, just jumped right out at me when I seen what the underlying agenda of Wall Street, of Occupy Wall Street, was. And what amazed me is what came out October 24 and where it came from. This actually made news, and if you allow me to elaborate, I'm going to get into this here.
Oh, yes.
Because this ties in big time here. Vatican City, October 24. This was on a Monday, and I'm talking this year. So we're just talking a few weeks ago, right in the middle of this Occupy Wall Street movement. Says the Vatican called Monday for sweeping reforms of world economy as the creation of ethical global authority to regulate financial markets as demonstrations against corporate greed continue to spring up in major cities across the globe.
Wow.
Here we got the Vatican involved in Occupy Wall Street. I'm going to, it was a two-page
show. Oh, they should talk.
Yeah. And this here, I'm just going to read just a few highlighted sentences because this is phenomenal. This comes directly from the Pope.
Oh.
Okay, the Vatican document was likely to be welcomed by the demonstrators who critics say lack clear objectives. This is the first major entity that supports the Wall Street protesters. This is now the Vatican coming up alongside them. And this is what the Vatican said in the document. It was actually an 18-page document. The Vatican, this was a huge document set up just to address, actually, it was Occupy Rome, because the Rome Occupy Wall Streets were...
So where could people find this document? Like, what kind of a search
term
should
they put
in?
Just go, if I were you, I'd just go 18-page document from the Vatican for Occupy Wall Street. You'll come up with it. Here's some excerpts from this document. The Vatican called for the establishment of a supranational authority. Now, what does a supranational mean? That means worldwide. It means every nation. So it's calling for the establishment of a supranational authority with worldwide scope and universal jurisdiction to guide economic policies and decisions. In other words, one world government. That's what it's calling for.
Yeah.
It continues. Such an authority. Now notice they don't say what the authority would be. It just said whatever it is. Such an authority should start with the United Nations as a reference point, but later become independent. Oh, wow. That's your Antichrist. Someone who rises up all by himself. To become independent and endowed with the power to see to it that developed countries are not allowed to wield excessive power over weaker countries. In other words, getting that global unity under all one entity. And the Vatican is supporting this. Now, for those of you who know my writing and know my thoughts, I mean, you can disagree with me if you like, but I believe the Vatican will be a part of the One World Order.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They have a history of starting wars and a history of actually murdering people, especially during the Inquisition. But they have their own army, the Jesuit army.
Yeah, so, and I actually, you know, you say the Jesuit army. I've got an article just within my reach here. You want me to grab that a minute?
Oh, yes.
This is on the actual wording of the Jesuit order. Hang on.
Oh,
boy, you said a mouthful there with the word Jesuit.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn.
The Jesuits are directly connected to the Catholic Church. I mean, it's one, they're almost, let's say, one and the same. And there is an oath that they take. And let's see here. Shoot, and I should have highlighted. If I knew we were talking about this, I would have been prepared. Actually, what you can do for the readers or your listeners here, I'm going to show you what to Google here.
Okay.
And it is called the Jesuit. Now, that is spelled J-E-S, as in Sam, U-I-T, as in Tom. Jesuit Extreme Oath of Induction. This is an oath that they take. And what it basically gives them is the license to kill.
Yes.
I mean, that's it, right here.
It's not funny, but yes, it's true.
Yep, and it says right here, I furthermore promise, this is an actual clause right out of the oath, I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants,
yeah,
liberals, I am directed to do, exterminate them from the face of the whole earth. I
wow.
will spare neither age, sex, or condition. I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury these alive with infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls.
Wow.
Yeah, this is coming right out of the oath of the Jesuits, and that is connected to the Catholic Church. Now we
wow.
have, that's exactly what the Spanish Inquisition was all about. That's exactly
yes.
what they did.
Yes, I had someone, I had done a video on YouTube mentioning some of these things about the Catholic Church, and then I had somebody write me a comment, oh, how dare I say anything. But I think most, I would say this, most Catholics, they go to church, but they don't even know what they really, what they believe. They don't know the history, and I think they just go out of habit because their mother was a Catholic or they were baptized.
Well, they were raised in it. They were raised in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I do believe that if a Catholic believes that Jesus Christ died for him or her sins, and they believe, you know, I mean, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. But it's not religion. It's called relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's
and
the difference.
If there are Catholics who have a personal relationship with their Lord Jesus Christ, I am not going to question their faith, or I'm not going to question their saving. That's up to God. However, a lot of these Catholics do. I mean, this is called, I believe, the mystery harlot of Babylon.
Oh, yes.
Because many Catholics have no idea why certain things occur. What are the rituals in church, and what do they represent? Why are they done? And if you actually take the time to look them up and find their tradition, where it's based, it's all paganism.
Yes. It's very hard, though, because I was raised Catholic myself. I got out of it, thankfully, when I was 12 years old. I had enough sense. to get out of it then, but you go to church. You don't really know what's going on. I went to church, and the first few years I went, they didn't even speak English during the Mass, so you didn't even know what they were talking about.
It was probably Latin that they spoke.
Yeah, and you never read the Bible. I went to Catholic school for 7 years. We never cracked the Bible open one time. So I think, and then the biggest deception of them all, which amazes me, is the fact that they believe that Jesus lives in a wafer. Now that is a real deception, and there's a billion people that are deceived. So you see how easy it is for people to be deceived and to stay deceived, and it goes to show you why Jesus called people sheep.
Yeah, and needing the correct shepherd.
Yeah, the correct shepherd.
And I guess in many of the conversations that I've had with Catholics, now you got to remember there are various degrees of Catholic in their faith. Some are just churchgoers, and they call themselves that, but they're really nothing. And then you have the ones that are really devout, and they partake in everything because they feel that is the rock that Peter was addressed to back in the Gospels. And there's so many people that I run into who feel that the Pope is holy, that he comes directly from God, and that he is not in need of any saving. And I just stare at them, and I'm going, but he's just a man like me and you. I says, he needs the blood of Jesus Christ, no different than Mary calling the Lord my Savior. And
yes.
And they look at me like I just slapped them.
And
they're
yeah,
like,
no.
Say
anything
the Pope,
about Mary.
The Pope is holy. He is, right.
He's
from,
infallible.
He is infallible.
Makes,
and
yeah,
I just go,
no
wow. I says, you already worship a man.
Oh, yes.
And I says, he's no different than you or me. And if he does not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and never confessed his sin and admitted he was a sinner, I said, he will end up in hell like everybody else will.
Yeah.
And they just look at me, and I says, well, listen here, will you agree with me that there have been evil popes way back when? And they'll say, oh, yeah, we've had popes that were not good. And I says, then how do you now press the argument that each pope is infallible?
Yeah.
I says, when you just now admitted that there were popes that were evil. And I says, well, what if we have a new one coming that is also evil? I says, what if we have one that supports the gay and lesbian agenda? You know in your heart that that is wrong. You know according to the word of God that is wrong. They teach that now. But I says, what if we have a pope who thinks that's okay now? And I says, do you follow the word of God or will you follow the word of a pope? And they don't know what to say.
Oh, well, they'll definitely, most of them follow the word of the Pope.
Right.
They've done a very efficient job with the brainwashing, very efficient.
And that's why I feel that we are going to see in the end times the rise of a Pope that will rule the world. Now, like I said, that is my idea. It just fits the descriptions given in Revelation and actually the book of Daniel. And then we go back to what we talked about in the beginning here with this document coming from the Vatican. The document is stating we support these rising ups and let's spread the wealth among the people, which is exactly what the Wall Street protesters want.
Well, it's kind of ironic, and I have never seen anyone on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, any of these big news networks. I have never heard one person ever say anything about the fabulous wealth of the Catholic Church, and the Pope lives in a 1,000-room palace,
mm-hmm.
and they are probably the richest organization on the earth. That they have so much real estate and gold and their own bank, and so it's kind of ironic that they would side with the Occupy people.
That just blew me away. It really
yeah.
did. I, I just went, wow. And then here we come with the prophecy in Daniel. Is this exactly what he does? And we've got the beginnings, people. We've got the beginnings of it right here. And that's what the link of the Wall Street protesters are to biblical prophecy. I do not see them going away. They may kind of peter out after a while, but I believe they're going to rise up again. It will continue as more and more countries are suffering from economic turmoil. You're going to see more and more of this. Give me what you've got.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's happening so fast because we see all the turmoil in the Middle East, one ruler after another being deposed. And then they got rid of Berlusconi. I can't remember mm-hmm. how to say his name,
yep.
in Italy. All of a sudden, he's out. And then
Greece is out. I mean,
yeah,
the president
Greece
of Greece
is out.
Is
and
out.
Now Germany's talking about, I don't know, sectioning off something. I saw the headline, but I didn't read the story. They're saying the euro's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things start happening in Europe the way they're happening especially, then you have to take note. You really have to take note.
Well, usually everything seems to start in Europe and then it filters over to the United States. It usually takes time. Or almost like somebody has said, the United States is always behind Europe. What happens
but it's
in
true,
Europe?
And you don't really... I spent a lot of time in Europe in the 90s, and I saw what was happening there in the churches. I saw what was happening as far as the Muslims were building these big mosques there. There were so many Muslims there in London especially. And then I saw the things that were happening at the airport, the searches. When I went to an airport in Austria and got off the plane, there were soldiers there carrying rifles. Now, this is back in the 90s, and I was thinking, you know, it's just a matter of time before it comes to America.
Mm-hmm.
The churches, many of the old, beautiful churches being turned into apartments or condos or pubs or whatever. And so it's very, very true. We think that we're so far ahead here in this country, but yet things seem to happen there first.
Right.
And so
and
I want
to... And this to us is a warning. How many times have I seen comments made on articles when, you know, we're talking about Greece being in default? How many people make the comment, United States is next, United States is next, pay attention. And here we have the super committee that has until next week Wednesday to pull their act together, and they can't do it. We've got a problem in our own government that the can just gets kicked further and further down the road, and it's going to all of a sudden it's going to just go off the cliff, and the can will no longer be retrieved.
When they're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just, like I said, there's so much infighting and bickering that, you know, there's a threat now that we're going to get downgraded again if we can't get it together by the 23rd. And here comes another deadline, and I just shake my head, and what is the approval for Congress right now? 13% approval rating
for
Congress. Wow.
But the thing that is so curious to me, and I don't understand why people can't see it, or maybe they do see it and they just don't care, is that China basically owns this country because they own
mm-hmm.
the industry. And we've sold ourselves out to the Chinese.
Yep, and they own our debt.
Pardon?
And they own our debt.
Yes, and they own our debt, yeah. And I was in some of the stores the other night, and every time I go to the stores and I look at the products, they
uh-huh.
get cheaper, and the clothes are cheaper and, I mean, uglier than I've ever seen them. I can't believe it when I look at the food processors and the coffee makers and the pots and pans and everything. Everything just looks like it's made so cheap, and... I'm remembering the days when you bought American products. They were beautiful. They were well made. I think they just closed the last silverware manufacturing company in this country. I remember when you could buy really nice silverware where it didn't have rough edges and it wasn't glued together. Or I can't believe what I'm seeing.
But that's all falling into the end time category with one world everything. Nobody is independent of each other anymore. We all depend on each other's as a nation. And, yeah, I mean, China's a big player. It's mentioned a number of times in Revelation, twice. The armies that come from the east, the army that 200 million man army. You know, this is an idea here that China will not be going away. It is going to get bigger.
Oh, it's going to get bigger. Yes, it's going to get bigger.
And it's a monster that needs to be fed. And unfortunately, it's America's feeding it.
Oh, America's feeding it. And, well, now they're saying that instead of opening up new businesses here, Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever, they're going over there.
Yep. In fact, Walmart, I guess, is opening a big store in Japan now. You know, it's you just shake your head at that going, oh, good grief, why can't they invest more into manufacturing product here so our products are on their shelves here in the United States? But that's just not the mindset of companies.
No, it's not the mindset. And if you go to Walmart, I was in there the other night, and I can't believe the store is so dirty. The parking lot is so dirty. It's so unkempt. And I said, this is really a sign of the times. Years ago, you would never go to the store, and the store would just be filthy.
Sure, sure. And that's the demographic of, you would say, the majority maybe of the people that attend there. I don't know. That I cannot go there. Maybe I just did. But at the same time, you got to look at it from big business point of view. It's all the regulations that our government has put on us. It's cheaper to go to China with a business and then bring the product, get it made over there, and get it brought back over here because there's too many regulations here. And
it doesn't. That's where the government need or the people need to step in, because I would never, if I was going to start a business, I would never take my manufacturing to China. I would definitely do it here.
And that's where your greed comes in.
Yeah,
where can I get more for my dollar? Who cares if I lose the job of 200-some potential people? I can go ahead and employ 400 people for the same amount that I need to pay 200 people here. You see where the greed comes in over what is right. And that is never going to change. That's going to continually get worse. But eventually, China's going to be waking up, and I think they are already, with, hey, I can make more money if I strike. If I tell them I'm not going to work anymore until I get X amount of dollars, and if I get enough people to rally with
me. Oh, that's coming.
That is coming. Now, that's where the reverse comes. That's where the United States will infiltrate. Eventually, the Chinese will get greedy. And I think that movement's already going that way.
Oh, that's already going to happen. They're going to say, well, I'm not going to work for 50 cents an hour. Are you kidding me?
Yep, and then here comes the uprising. How about Occupy Beijing coming up next? I want what that person's got, and so I'm going to create ruckus now.
Well, the thing is, if they start leaving their own country and they start coming here or going to other countries and they can see how other people live, and then they will. They'll say, I'm not going to be a slave here at this factory so the Americans can have it.
And the Internet and technology will not keep them ignorant anymore. They already know that there's something better on the outside, and they will rise up against their government to the point, I think in our lifetime, maybe in the next year or two, we're going to see the government of China fall like we've seen Egypt's and Spain. I mean, not Spain's, but Egypt's and Greece and Italy's government fall.
Is the government of China, is it communist currently?
Yes, I believe it is communist currently. However, the Muslim influence is very strong in northern China.
Oh.
And that is interesting. Now, I never knew that until I actually met a Chinese Muslim. I met her a couple weeks ago. And I looked at her and I went, you're Muslim, but you're Chinese. I thought they didn't allow religion. She says, well, Islam is growing. So that was interesting.
That is interesting.
It is, and that I have never heard of. But she says the northern part of Islam, northern part of China, is growing into Islamic. She says my whole family, all extended family as well, is all Muslim.
Wow.
And I went, wow, I guess I did not know that. So that is.
But there are actually Chinese people that have lived in China that are converting to being Muslims?
That's according to her, and I believe her because she was an immigrant. She married an American. That's how she came here. And she made it very clear that that was a movement on the move. That was a religion on the move.
Huh.
And that was very interesting.
Well, the days ahead, who knows what we're going to see, because I don't think that this is my own personal opinion, but I don't think it really is going to matter who they elect next to be president, because I don't see any of them making any changes that'll mean anything.
No, and God's putting them in power for that exact reason.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole idea of what Herman Cain is going through. Now, I really believe maybe the guy is innocent. I mean, it doesn't seem to be enough proof coming up, but at the same time, they say they've got it. But to me, that's the devil attacking him to the point where, you know, it's one of these things that he's probably not going to get the nomination now, just based on hearsay.
No, they finished him off.
That finished him off, and to me,
they were very effective. When they want to get you, even if they don't have evidence, if they want to get you, they spend 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh yes,
and
there'll be another one getting hit next. You know, there'll be another soon. I think Newt's getting it right now, and you know, but at the same time, you think, oh, you know, it's all those Democrat liberals that are attacking our Republican nominees. But you know what? God is in control of everything.
That's right.
And I do believe that if Herman Cain was meant to be president, God will put him in there. But maybe he is just too godly for the position.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder. He is just too good of a guy. And the Lord says, nope, nope, I need to put somebody in there who's going to take everything down to where I need it to be.
Yeah, well, the number one person is Romney. I mean, he's definitely... he's got a weird belief system, very weird belief system, being a Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's definitely not really pro-life.
I think he's a politician that will be swayed by those few elite of the world that will turn the whole government around into one world government. He will just be another pawn.
Yeah, he'll just be another pawn because he instituted the Obamacare for in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Even before Obamacare was even known to us, he had his own form. And then also he put in a $50 deductible on the health care, so if you pay $50, then the government would pay for your abortion.
Huh, that sounds pro-life to me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So in other words, don't always believe what you hear, but watch what they do.
Watch what they do. No, he can say all he wants now that he made a mistake. Well, yeah, that was a big mistake. Just give us $50 and you could kill your child.
Yeah, boy, that sounds like a cheap a heathen practice.
Yeah, it sounds like a very cheap heathen practice. So I'm not buying that whole thing with Romney, but it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what God does in the days ahead, but we're definitely in the end times, and we can't stop what the Bible has already foretold. So we're going to see exactly how God said everything was going to come to pass in the end times. We're going to see it, whether we like it or not, and we can't stop it.
And that's what studying Revelation is so important. You know, Jesus didn't told us to wait and pray. He told us to watch and pray. Look for the signs that are happening. Look for what is going on. And that, to me, is the whole focus of, you know, I mean, not of the believer today. We need to spread the good news to other people and teach them about what is coming and that God is in control and to get their salvation in order. because it's you're going to need to be strong for what's coming. And we're not. Churches are just not. I get so frustrated with what churches are teaching, and it's all, you know, all about bringing in the converts. That's fill up the pews and teach them all their itching ears want to hear.
Yeah.
But then leaving out the basics of the Bible, that there is a hell, that there is a time coming where God's wrath will be poured out. Yes, he's gracious and he's merciful, but there's a balance. And
yes,
we miss
balance,
that.
And I've noticed that, especially in the comments that I get from my YouTube channel, and most of the comments are negative, and I get them every day about, well, who are you to judge? And even if a Bible teacher is going off, don't say anything. Just pray for the person. Well, of course, we should pray for the person, but
you know what I love to say?
If you're teaching heresy,
Susan, you know what I love to say to those kind of people who tell me you can't judge? And I says, you know what? I see you walking across the road with a high armful of packages, and you're ready to cross the road, and you are blocked by these packages, and there's a truck coming. Do I just pray that maybe the truck will swerve to hit you? I mean, swerve so it won't hit you? Oh, no. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to actually tackle you and get you out of the road. And I says, prayer at that point, is it good? Of course. But I need to take action.
Yeah,
I
action.
Need to warn you of what's coming. I need to
That's
yell
right.
at you from my porch going, hey, Joe, watch out. And that's where Christians will not do that, because we can't be judgmental. Well, I'm telling you right now, there's a truck coming, and there's a lot of Christians headed across the road with an arm full of packages, and they can't see it.
Oh, no, they can't see it. They don't have a clue what you're saying. They can't see it, and you can tell they did not read their Bible, because if they read especially the New Testament, and they can understand that. Paul said, I did not cease to warn you night and day with tears. Warning, warning. And the Bible talks about warning. And the Bible talks about judging righteous judgments. And we are to judge right and wrong, because the Bible is a book of absolutes. There is an absolute truth.
Absolutely.
So you could see that the devil has done a very good job deceiving people. They're happy to be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see a time when there's going to be terrible persecution of real, true Bible-believing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I see that there. I could see the way that people make the comments to me. It's full of hatred. And I don't, even on my YouTube videos, I don't say anything hateful. In a hateful way. I just point out the false teachings, and you can tell that they didn't even listen to what you were saying. They just hear one thing, and then they take that, and then they develop a real hatred toward you.
And isn't that judging us back? I mean, they're telling me to be tolerant of how they feel and how they believe. Well, then how come you're not tolerant back to me?
They won't be.
They won't
and
be.
And that's the thing I think that frightens me the most, is that they will not be tolerant of what you have to say. And I especially have seen that with some people that I knew in the past before I was a Christian, where they find you on the internet and then they want to be friends until they find out what you believe. And I don't have any problem being friends with them. I can be a friend to an unbeliever.
Sure.
I could be a friend to a homosexual person or an adulterer. I can be a friend to that person.
Well, that's where we become a neighbor, to be a good neighbor to somebody.
Right.
Absolutely.
But then they don't want – they're not going to be a friend to you when they find out what you believe. So I see a real separation.
But at
a
the same time, and we have to make this very clear, I do believe, and I know it's scriptural, and I can't give you the verse right now, but we have to give an account for our actions and our inactions. And if we see somebody about ready to get hit by a truck, and we refuse, and we just silently stay back and just pray, which is a powerful thing, But if we have the opportunity to rush out and intercept and save a life and we do not, we are also held accountable for that. And that's where a lot of Christians will fail, because it's like, no, I cannot judge. I have to be tolerant of everything. Well, if you go back to the God of the Bible, he is not tolerant of everything. And if we are to walk into the, look at how Jesus acted. I mean, was he tolerant of everything? Did he love everybody? Look at what he did to the Pharisees.
You whitewashed walls.
I mean, he called them a brood of vipers. I think John the Baptist even did that, a brood of vipers. You want to know in today's language what he might have called them? I don't think I could say it on the air. I mean, there are people that Jesus could not stand. He just despised them. He called them the seed of the devil. That's pretty strong language.
Yeah,
2,000 years
strong.
Ago.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. I haven't used that type of language yet. I didn't go into the temple with a whip and overturn the money changers.
My
temple,
goodness, I mean, there's going to come a time where I probably would. You know, when the Antichrist comes to power, I'll be the first one to call him out for what he's at, because I believe the Lord will make it very clear to everybody who he is. You know, for me to be quiet is not Christ-like, because Christ was not quiet.
No, he was not quiet.
He had a passion for God, and he had a passion for those who were evil. But he had a passion for those who would repent. The woman, the adulterer woman, the one who was going to get stoned, he had a passion for her. He had a passion for the woman at the well, which he was not even, according to Jewish tradition, the Samaritan woman, he was not even supposed to be talking to her. And because that's not what they did, but he did. And he called her out on what she was doing wrong. You know, she could have gotten
mad at her. Yeah, he certainly did. He certainly pointed out
to her. Yeah, he pointed out to her, hey, the guy you're living with now, he's not even your husband. And, you know, he didn't say what she was doing was right. He called her out on it. And
yes,
what did she
did.
Do? She turned her whole town over to being saved. The whole town that day believed. All because Jesus did not keep his mouth shut as to what she was doing wrong. He brought it out to her.
Well, he sure brings it out to me. And,
oh, he brings it out in all of us. That's called our conscience. That's called the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that the Holy Spirit points things out. But it's interesting to me how you're a Bible teacher, and you're a Bible teacher, you're a very good Bible teacher, and yet people will not accept sound Bible teaching. Really, you quote the Word of God to them. You can read right from Scripture, and they still won't hear what you're saying. And that goes along to what you were saying before about having the itching ears. Let's get them in here. Let's get them in the building. Let's tell them what they want to hear, that they can give us 10% of their money and then they'll get rich. They won't have any more financial problems. You can live any way you want, and you merely just give us some money, and God's obligated to bless you. And you can have nice cars and nice homes, and you can have everything you want. And it doesn't work that way. But that's what people want to hear today. There's desperate times. And these false teachers and false prophets and false pastors, they mislead the sheep. They don't have any real love in their heart for people, because they do everything as a hireling. They make merchandise of God's people. And we're seeing it more and more every day.
Yep, and you're going to get more and more of this. You bet. As people want a feel-good religion. And you know, and that is the one that the Antichrist will give, too. He'll have that feel-good religion. If you do this for me, if you come along and take my side, you guys can, you know, have all the food in your belly you want. I will allow you to go to the store to buy and sell, but, you know, you're going to have to worship me.
You're going to have to take
that.
My mark.
Right, and this will be an awful tough time for that Christian who knows better. and knows that the mark cannot be something he can or she can take. I mean, that's going to be, according to the Bible, cannot do it. And that's why Jesus said, it's actually in the book of Daniel, when the angel spoke to Daniel and said, you know what, there's going to come a time where believers, the saints, will be tried like gold in a fire to determine their quality. What are you going to do? There's no more on the fence. And we got too many of them on the fence right now, but that's going to change.
Well, the other thing I saw when I was out the other night in the stores was how many people had tattoos. I've never seen so many tattoos. And
there's
I remember
a reason
reading,
for that.
And there's a reason for that. And
tell
us what the reason is.
I believe now this is a big part of my ministry because, and this is probably going to shake a lot of listeners, but again, you can Google this and you will know what I'm saying is the truth. In the book of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 13, 16, and 17, all great and small, rich and poor, will receive a mark on the hand or upon the forehead, where you can neither buy nor sell or get a job unless you have the mark, which is connected, of course, to the 666, which that is also shown in verse 17. The Greek word for mark, if you interpret it correctly, all the way back to its original Greek, it means to prick or stamp under. The Living Bible already uses the word tattoo. It's that I found was amazing. It is a literal mark, and the Living Bible, like I said, uses the word tattoo based on the Greek explanation of what a mark is, to prick or stamp under. Technology, I got Nightline, did a report in August about, and Google this, a product called Smart Skin. Now, you've heard of smartphone, you've heard of smart this and smart that. Smart Skin.
Wow.
It is a tattoo. It's a transferable tattoo. It's smaller than a postage stamp. It's thinner than a hair. And it's got electrodes in it.
Oh.
It's like a computer inside the paper. And it's not really paper. It's like a gel. You can lift it out with a pair of tweezers, and then it's laid on the skin, and it melts into the surface of the skin. This is being tested as we speak right now. In London hospitals. Here we go. You're up again? All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
You're up ahead of the game. Okay. Being tested in London hospitals, you get this tattoo when you go in. They will actually show you a picture of it. It is on the wrist. When you go in, the tattoo is applied, and within 1 to 2 minutes, it's absorbed into the skin. The nurse takes a scanner, goes over this little stamp, whatever you want to call it, tattoo, and it takes your vitals, your heart rate, your temperature, your blood type, all of this downloaded into a little reader so that she doesn't need to use the temperature stick, the blood pressure gauge. This just popped out at me, and it was neat that Nightline did the report on it. The thing is, they are also considering this as an app for your smartphone.
Oh, no.
You get these little tattoos with these electrodes in it. You download your health into your app. You can then call the doctor, and he can monitor your health from inside your home. Now, you think I'm laughing. This is already being done for fetal monitors, I believe, in pregnant women. Now, I mean, they can then monitor someone with a pregnancy problem. If you have a pacemaker or a heart condition,
they'll just automatically put it in there and you won't even know it.
Yeah, they already can monitor your heart rate from home based on computers. It's all wireless.
Oh.
The thing is, notice how convenient this is. This is really kind of nice. They are actually, and you can go further down into the Google, just Google Smart Skin. You'll get past the dermatology advertisements for people who have smart skin. Okay, that's separated. But go about the fifth or sixth article down.
Okay.
You will see that there is something that they are using this technology for those who are diabetic. You put the tattoo on, you pass it over with your smartphone, and you can take your glucose reading without having to prick your skin.
Oh.
How convenient. How safe. You can now see the movement of I need this. The thing is, if this is something adopted by hospitals, everything, if it's faster, more convenient, more accurate, it's going to come about. And this seems to fill that category. In order for you to see the doctor, you need to get this done, this tattoo put on you. Can you now see?
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
The step here where the Antichrist forces everybody to receive a tattoo on the hand or the forehead, where you have to have this in order to take part of society, to have a job, go in a store, buy or sell, exactly the way the Bible predicted it.
Yes.
It's all with technology. And how much time do we need before we see our driver's license information, our credit card information, your bank account put into this tattoo? And this is, and you pop the perfect question. I see all these tattoos going. What's happening? That's the desensitization that the devil is using for when there actually is a tattoo that is needed, it will be no big deal.
Right.
That's why we have got the slow movement of tattoos. When I was 18 years old, and if I would have walked into my house with a tattoo, my dad would have removed it himself. I mean, no kid of mine is going to be like a tramp. I mean, actually, they're called tramps.
Well,
tramps.
It used to be, when I was growing up, I remember when I was about, I think, 12 or 13, my friend, she had a crush on a guy, so she went and she took some ink and she inked his name in her arm or something. And it was like a shame. We were ashamed, and after, she was so ashamed because she couldn't get rid of that thing. It used to be a shame to have a tattoo.
Sure. It was
now,
linked to gangs actually the Navy. I mean, if you were in war, I mean,
yeah,
you pretty much got your – I mean, that was usually when you were drunk and you went on
shore,
when
you
got
drunk,
a tattoo.
You went and got a tattoo. Now, I couldn't believe it. Old people, young people.
Well, now grandma's got it.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's something that has become the slow desensitization, and that is something that we are, you know, actually seeing – as the devil's hand in this. And I'm not saying that if you have a tattoo, you have the mark of the beast. No. That's not it. I think we will know when it's the mark, when it comes out. Neither is this tattoo that London hospitals are using. I don't believe that is the mark. However, it's that slow movement of when it comes, we won't have a clue about it unless you are a Bible reader.
Yes, unless you are a Bible reader, yeah.
And then you know that that is something you cannot participate with.
No. But you can see where if you're brought into a hospital, if you're an unconscious or whatever, they would automatically give it to you.
Oh, sure. What if you had a kid that
just broke his
arm? You
couldn't even object.
You know, and you just, you know, your child, five-year-old child or grandchild just broke his arm falling out of a tree at your house. You can't set that. You have no idea. The kid's in pain. The bone's sticking out through the skin.
Right. You have to take
You need
them.
To go in and take care of this. Wow.
Well, a friend of mine that worked in a hospital told me a few years ago that they were already doing, implanting something in the babies when they were born.
Oh, sure. This is, again, a movement. And it's much more easier. What if it is a tattoo? And I believe it is. According to the Bible, it's a mark. It's if you want to use the Greek, it's an imprint that goes underneath the skin. And if that's the RFID chip, that could be it too. But
yeah.
A tattoo seems to be much more, it doesn't need to be applied with a syringe. It doesn't need to be a needle, where a lot of people are antsy about that.
Yeah.
You know what, as I was doing a show once, and I do shows at festivals and fairs where I set up my booth and I talk about this. I have big banners up that put the verse of Revelation 13:18 up there, the 666. I bring people the attention of something that's going on.
I guess you
do. This is my mission. That's my ministry. I talk about revelation.
Wow, you're not ashamed of the gospel.
Oh, no, no, no. And believe me, I get a few heads that walk past me and shake their head going, what evil lady is this?
Yeah.
But I had somebody that stopped, and I don't know if you guys, where you all live, but I live near Chicago. I'm about 3 hours from Chicago.
Near Tampa.
Okay, well, in Chicago, there is a museum called Science and Industry.
Yeah, we have one of those,
okay,
too,
and
Tampa, yeah.
I had somebody approach my booth, and she was reading my Smart Skin article, and she says, did you know they just set up a new area at the Science and Industry Museum that talks about brain technology? And I went, no, I haven't heard about this. She says, I did it. She says, we just come back from that last weekend. You put on this little helmet. It's fit, one for adult and one for child. And there's a little red ball behind glass. And you think the ball where you want it to go.
Oh, no.
And I went, you got to be kidding me. She says, no, it works with your brain waves. There's a computer inside the helmet that knows what you're thinking.
Oh.
And you think the ball from one end of the room to the other, and you try to get it into the hole by thinking it. And I went, wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah, now you're going to know what I'm thinking? Oh, no.
Yeah, but what if you get a mark that is computerized, and that then now knows what you're thinking, and that's linked to the Antichrist? You know, you can see the technology just getting a little bit too scary.
Well, they're talking about that now, even when you go to the airport, that they're going to start reading your body language.
Mm-hmm.
And also it has something else to do with what you just mentioned. They can tell what you're thinking, or they're going to use some kind of technology to tell what you're thinking. Well,
Actually, I heard that they're using body language, but also your temperature and your heart rate.
Yeah.
Well, how are they going to do that? How do they know your heart rate if they haven't got a monitor on you?
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be something that they must be able to do so they can monitor your heart rate as you walk through.
Well, of course, your heart rate's going to, it always goes up whenever you see a police officer or somebody with a badge.
Right.
Even
but
if you're not doing anything
if you're carrying a weapon, your heart rate's going to go up more as you become apprehensive going through there. So, that's just.
I could see that even a few months ago, my a family member fell, and they didn't want to go to the emergency room. They didn't really have to go. I mean, they weren't injured. But when we called the doctor, and we were just trying to get some X-rays or whatever just in case. So the nurse at the doctor's office said, well, didn't you take them to the emergency room? I said, no, they didn't want to go, so we didn't take them. She said, well, I should report you.
Hmm.
I could report you. And I'm thinking, you know, I had thought of that one time when there's going to come a day that if you don't do exactly what they expect you to do and how they expect you to do it, yeah, they're going to report you.
Actually, that's already in motion for those who are conspiracist. I think, is that a word, conspiracist? People who love conspiracy.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as a red list, blue list. And I might have it backwards. So you brought it up, Susan, so I might have you might.
So what is the red list?
The red list are those people with... They know, you know, what kind of books you take out of the library. Let's say
that was coming.
Yep. And then
stop
you get
going
on
to
a
the library.
List where if martial law should ever come into play, they know which people need to get put away into a special camp. And those are called red listers. These are people that need to be removed immediately. These are the people who have radio shows that talk about end times. That's you. These are people who mouth off about moral values. These are people who are the ones that will pray around an abortion clinic. These are people who will rise up and stand up for their beliefs. These are called red listers. And then you have those who are blue listers. These are people that could probably stay in society and maybe they could be convinced of their belief otherwise. And that is already in process based on all the technology that's out there. And if you are a red lister, you're probably pretty easy to find.
Yeah. It's I don't know if most people know this, but I didn't know it myself until I was trying to send something from Canada, some bird seed that I bought from Canada, and I was trying to have it shipped here. And I made the mistake of first using UPS. Well, I didn't know anything really about UPS or their policies with any international shipments. But then I found out that you have to fill out this form now if you're shipping any kind of food item, even if somebody's sending you a box of candy or some cookies or something from another country. You have to fill out a commercial invoice, and you have to give your social security number. And you have to fill out this big long questionnaire, and then when it came from Canada to the U.S., UPS has their own customs agents. They don't use the United States customs agents. They have their own, and they took my bird seed and they opened it up and they told me I could not have it, that they were sending it to a government laboratory for further testing.
Wow, was it worth all that effort?
Yeah.
It must have been some special
bird
seed.
It was organically grown bird seed. The only place you can get it is Canada. They're the only ones that grow this particular kind of bird seed. They don't grow it here in this country. So, okay, so then I said, well, what am I supposed to do with it after it comes from the government laboratory? Give it to my bird? I said, no, forget about it. I don't want it. So then I had to try again to get this bird seed from the farmer. And I had to go through the FDA. Now they have a new thing with the FDA. This is new. It just was implemented in May, and it's called prior notice. And if you want to send anything from a foreign country, you have to give the FDA prior notice.
Hmm.
And it's about a 7-page form that you have to fill out.
Wow.
Yeah. And you have to answer all these questions and give all this information. They want to know everything that's coming in here now.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised. I could not believe it. And
it's probably been implemented a little too late. The stuff that is not supposed to be here has already been done years ago. So, you know, that might be our own demise, kind of like hindsight's 20/20. Should have done this kind of stuff 20 years ago. But, yeah, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day.
Yeah. And I said, no, people wouldn't believe it, because I wouldn't have believed it myself unless it happened to me. But it really happened. It's really true. And,
well, it's just more and more that Big Brother keeping an eye.
More and more Big Brother. We want to know what you're buying, what you're selling. I said, the whole thing is coming to pass way too soon. Way too soon.
And technology will make that faster and faster and faster.
Yeah. Because now that they do have they can put it right in the computer, and then they can track everything you're buying and selling. There comes the mark. There comes you cannot buy and sell without the mark. I said, this is happening so much faster than people really realize.
And that's
that
what makes
happening.
Me believe, and more eschatology teachers are believing this as well. We're going to see this in our lifetime.
Yeah. I couldn't believe this whole incident. When I get a call from the lady at UPS and she's telling me my bird seed is going to a government laboratory for further testing, I'm like, what planet am I on? Am I really here?
True. Probably because it was an unusual shipment. I'm sure it was. You know,
well, they've heard of canary seed. It's no. They know that canary seed is grown in Canada. They're the major producer of canary seed. So they know that. It wasn't anything odd. I'm like, then they called me and they wanted to know the genus, the species and the genus. I'm like, well, there's people there that work for the FDA. They don't know what the species and the genus is of canary seed.
Oh, my goodness. You might have been red-listed, and that's why. You were like a red flag. It's like, I think we've probably got to maybe not get this. She's up to something because she's on the red list.
Well, yeah, I'm sure when if they took it to the government laboratory, they found out it was canary seed. Yeah.
Did you ever get your shipment?
Pardon?
Did you ever get your shipment?
Well, the second shipment I did get, you know, the one that the farmer sent the second time, but... It turned out he already had an FDA number. He was already registered with the FDA. His farm was.
Okay.
So then we used his FDA number. But I still had to fill out the prior notice, but I said it's okay. I mean, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I've got nothing to hide. So,
and that's
but that's
the bottom
line.
I
just couldn't believe all the trouble. I said, how many people are going to go through all this trouble just to send something? But and that's another thing is they want to stop people from buying things from other countries. They're trying to make it as difficult as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And even if people did some research, you'll see that even people that are buying computers and software and different things, they're having it confiscated and held, and some of the and sometimes they're not even receiving it when it's going through customs. So they're trying to make it even more difficult to buy and sell. But that just goes to, it went to show me really how fast things are happening and how that scripture was just going through my head about you will have to have a mark to buy or sell.
Right. Yep.
And so I said, well, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, please.
You betcha.
Because
or,
I thought,
or take
wow.
me out of this world.
Yeah, get me out of here because it's just getting too crazy for me. But, you know, for me,
but
we're
going to be the bullhorns, hey. We're going to be the ones that are going to be shouting from the rooftops, you know.
Well, and that's okay. Because, you know, the thing is, we know what Jesus Christ did for us. Anybody that's been born again, we know what it's like to have an old life, and we know what it's like to have the new life.
Yep.
I like the new life a lot better than the old life. I'm not going back there.
Yep. The old life made a lot more extra problems for me. That I will say.
Yeah.
There was a reason why those rules that Jesus put forth to keep our life straight, there's a reason for that. It wasn't to make my life uncomfortable, and that's the big part of, you know, going back to my time when I was a non-believer. And it was like, I don't want to go to church because then it's going to tell me I can't go to the bar. And then it will tell me that I can't hang out with my boyfriends. And then it will tell me that I can't get a room when I want to. And then I look back now and I'm like, you know, I bondaged myself with a lot of extra worry because I did stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
well,
Jesus
the thing is, then when you give your life to Jesus, you think, I don't even want to do that stuff
anymore.
Oh,
you're almost, you could turn, it turns your stomach. It
yeah.
turns your stomach of what you actually liked to do beforehand.
That's it.
And that, to me, is something that God made very clear to Israel when it left Egypt. And that's why he became so angry with those people who wanted to go back to Egypt. It's like, I want to get, we had at least food in Egypt.
We had
all
garlic
the
and we had leeks. And
yeah, we had all
the
these
things
pleasures.
They complained about.
And can you imagine the anger of God at that point? It's like, but I saved you from something there.
Yes.
I'm giving you something better. You're going to go through a discipline process. But, you know, those kind of people, he got, in fact, all of the people that were 20 years of age and older who had left Egypt never got to see the promised land.
Yeah.
That is recorded in Exodus, where he put a curse on all those people. It's like, you know, for all your grumbling you're going to do, the generation that had left Egypt will not see the promised land, and they all
yeah.
died in the desert. And I think Aaron and Caleb might have been the only, there was two of the people that were strong and they were able to see it. I do not, maybe it was Joshua. I don't remember who the two were. There was only two that were exempt from
I
that.
I think
curse.
It was Joshua and Caleb.
It was Joshua and maybe no. Caleb. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's like God gets frustrated when we look back at our old life. And sometimes I've done that, especially when I was a baby Christian. Going, you know, it was a lot more fun when I could get drunk when I wanted to. Now I can't. And, oh, it was much more fun being a non-Christian, you know, or doing what I want was a lot more fun. And God's got to look at that and going, no. That's like those wanting to go back to Egypt. I pulled
oh,
you
yeah.
out of that.
Don't look back. You'll turn into
I
a pillar
I pulled you
of salt.
Out of that. I saved you from that.
Yes.
And now... And I know every Christian has to go through that at some point, wanting, and that's the devil, wanting you to go back to your old life. And the thing is, a lot of Christians do. They fall back. And that, to me, is, and again, something you have to give an account for.
Well, we just have about 15 minutes left here, but I wanted to just touch quickly on the situation with Iran and Iraq.
Oh, my goodness. we've got, but you know what? If you think of it, we've been in an explosive situation for, what, 2-3 years now already.
Yeah.
I mean, every time the IAEA, which is the International Atomic Energy Association, that's the nuclear watchdog of the United Nations or Security Council, every time they come out with a report, there's more rumblings about war with Iran. But I don't think it's as much as it is right now. I mean, I thought for sure we were going to get nailed last year with an attack from Israel, and it kind of just kind of went underneath the rug, so to say. But it got pulled out again just these last couple of weeks with Iran being more and more adamant that they are now going to get the weapon if they haven't got it already. And, this again, according to God's plan, but something will shake loose there. And we have to look back at the prophecies that are not fulfilled yet in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That has not happened yet, and neither has the destruction of Damascus. So not only is Iran in the crosshairs of the believer to watch, but also Syria.
Yes, and they're trying to get rid of the, is he the president?
Yep, President Assad, A-S-S-A-D, Assad.
So they're trying to get him out.
Right.
What is the significance of getting him out?
To get the more of the Muslim Brotherhood in. You got to remember, Syria is really a fairly democratic nation. I mean, it is westernized. If you look at the pictures of the people.
Well, wasn't Libya also?
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the people in Libya. The women do not wear headscarves there. Some do, but some don't. They actually wear more modern clothing.
They had freedom of religion there, too.
Right. Now, Gaddafi, that was another unbelievable event. I mean, I grew up with Gaddafi in power. I mean, he's been there for so long. I mean, good grief. You kind of associated Gaddafi with Libya most of your life.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, he's gone. And all in 1 year with Mubarak, which was another long-time
dictator.
Yeah,
that was a shock, Mubarak, because that was fairly a liberal country, too.
Yes, and they all did not have strong Muslim ties. They were Muslim, but they weren't strong at it. I mean, Mubarak had a peace treaty with Israel. In the Muslim Brotherhood, that was a no-no. We don't do that.
Now they have Sharia law in Libya.
You betcha. And the Muslim Brotherhood is looking to take over. And it's happening again in Libya. Actually, the Muslim Brotherhood there supported the rebels. That was their backbone. And we didn't see what was happening. It's like they're actually they're talking up Sharia law in Libya. And the women there are livid because they can't drive now. They can't vote. They can't wear the clothing they want to.
Yeah.
But the Muslim Brotherhood, and that is prophecy, all the nations that come up against Israel in that Ezekiel's war of 38 and 39, they all have a strong Muslim tie. And to me, that is significant. And we need to get more and more that way and put, mentioned in Ezekiel 38, that is Libya, or the area surrounding it as well. Persia, which is Iran, is also mentioned. Now, we know Iran would love to push Israel off the map, so that is almost a given. But then, of course, the big one is Russia. And look who Russia has ties with, more and more with Iran. And to me, if Iran gets attacked, that is the hook that will pull Russia, Gog Magog, that will be the hook that pushes Russia to bring about these other Islamic nations that are now itching to get at Israel to go ahead and destroy her completely, which we know, of course, God rises in that day.
Amen.
But we also need to see the destruction of Syria. And I believe that's the reason why Syria is not mentioned as one of the countries that comes up against Israel. I believe it can't. And now this is speculation, but I believe David Jeremiah is an excellent analyst of what's going on with prophecy in the Middle East. And he has also made the comment that the destruction of Damascus needs to occur first, before Ezekiel's war can start to happen. and we are falling into this. Even the Arabs are looking to get rid of Assad, and that is unbelievable. Syria is one of the Arab nations.
Yes.
And they voted last week to cut Syria out.
Oh.
That was unbelievable. They actually ousted Syria from the League of Nations.
Oh.
And they're meeting actually this week, maybe even today or tomorrow, to make that now. They're giving Assad 3 days to quit killing the protesters, to stop. And I believe tomorrow is his deadline. And if he does not, he will be cut off out of the Arab League. Now, that is really bad for Syria because they need the support of the Arab League. So Assad is in a predicament here.
Yeah.
And
he definitely is.
A lot of Middle East analysts are feeling, along with David Jeremiah, that NATO, because we were successful with Libya, NATO will strike Damascus. And is that the prophecy that is fulfilled? Now remember, Damascus is destroyed in one day, according to, I believe it is Isaiah 59 or Isaiah
57. So you think that's going to happen soon?
Yeah, just because of the unrest and more, Assad is alienating himself by killing these protesters for so long. Over 3,000 have been killed that they know of.
Oh.
They don't know
so
what.
So when that happens, then we should really look up.
Yes. And then, of course, we have Ezekiel's war that's got to come into play.
Uh-huh.
And there's so many fingers in this that it's a study in it. But
yes.
For people, I just say, you know what? Get into the Word of God and just look at what's going on, and it will become very clear to you. I am not a Bible scholar. I just happen to have a love for the Word of God. And I believe there are many Christians who listen to your show that are in my exact same situation. They love the Word of God and they read it. For me, it is so very clear, and that's why I wrote the book on explaining Revelation. And actually, the first chapter of my book is exactly this Ezekiel's war scenario. And kind of make a plug here in my last 15 minutes here. If you go to Amazon.com, you can get that first chapter for free. You can just click on author pages, and you will see how I explain Ezekiel's war and what to look for.
Okay.
So that's a tip.
Amazon. So if they go to Amazon.com, you look for the book, Explain This.
Yep, Explain This, just like that. You'll find it. It's an orange book. It will come up first on your screen, and just click on the book itself, and I think there's a little arrow that says Look Inside, and then you can look at my first chapter, which is Ezekiel's War.
Okay.
And it's right there in text, so you can just, you know, if you want, I believe you can, I don't know if you can copy and paste that or not, but I don't know. If you can,
okay.
Go ahead. It's,
okay, then.
It's
that's
message.
Great. Yeah, for anyone that wants to go
but
and check out her
pay,
book there, and you can read
attention.
That first chapter.
Yes, pay attention to Israel here. That is where everything surrounds in the end times. And this Damascus deal with Syria is very important.
Yeah, well, I'll be looking for that because I didn't know that could happen any day, really.
Yeah, I mean, just I heard the other day, it was on the tip of my mind here to say it, now I forgot it here. I know Assad's got 3 days. I think tomorrow is the deadline. But what was the other item that I was going to – nope, I flew out of my mind here. Sorry, Susan. That's one of those things, you get old and things, you got it in your mind, and then you can't bring it out when you want to talk about it.
I don't remember as much as I used to, but then I think, well, I probably don't. It doesn't matter anyway, some
no,
of the things.
No, must
that,
not have.
Yeah.
But just pay attention to the Middle East.
You slow down a little bit, but it's just that things aren't as important as they used to be. I could see why they said that people should retire when they were 65 or whatever and find something that, you know, that they enjoy doing, because you have enough to do. It seems like the days just are shorter, and you don't have enough time to do in a day what you used to do in a day.
Yeah.
How time just seems to fly by.
That's
but in,
true.
In these last 6 minutes here, the most important thing is that we want to give people an opportunity to accept Jesus And that's why we do these programs, because we want you people to know that Jesus Christ is real. He's a Savior, and he can give you a new life. And I would like Christine to please pray for our listeners today.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us. This is an open door. You have promised that for believers, that you will open doors that no one can shut. And this show that Susan has created, the talk that she has created, and the wisdom and the knowledge that you have given me, and the delivery that I can do with my own ministry, and then Susan with her ministry, we thank you for this, because we need to tell others of what is coming. And Lord, you've given this information for these listeners so they in turn tell others. This is the spread of the gospel, to let others know that God is in control. He sent your son to die on the cross to save us. To save us from what? To save us from that lake of fire, which is real, which is hell in the end times for those who take the mark, for those who worship the beast. And it is my ministry, and it's the ministry of many others, and Susan's show here to explain to others how you cannot take this mark. And the only way possible of this is to turn Christ into your Lord and Savior, to believe that he died for your sins, and that we have our own mark, as described in Ephesians 1, verse 14, that we are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, when we accept you as our Savior. We are blessed to have this. Be with all those who have listened today. Have them gain the wisdom that is needed for them to progress on in their life. Give them the understanding of what is coming and what is needed to protect them as well, because your word is truth. And we thank you again for Susan and the opportunity here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yes, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified in our lives, Lord, and we ask that you would save people today, that people would be prompted by the Holy Spirit to repent of their sins and to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, the true Prince of Peace, because we cannot have peace without the Lord Jesus Christ and without knowing him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said that we must be born again. A man must be born first of his mother and then born of the Spirit of God. And confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And we thank you, Lord God, that there'll be some that would repent today and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for this program. We thank you for this time on the air to deliver the message of the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for Christine's ministry. And we ask you to encourage her, Lord, give her strength, and even give her more books and increase her in every way, Lord Jesus. We thank you for her life and her ministry. And we thank you for all the listeners today. We thank you for tuning in today and being a part of this broadcast. God bless you all, and God bless you, Christine. We'll be talking real soon, okay?
And I do appreciate you and this chance once again. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I learned a lot today. Always do.
And I as well.
All right. Okay, God bless.
Thank you,
everybody, for tuning in. And we will be replaying this program this Saturday on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. So don't forget to tune in, and you can go to our website, propheticnews.com. You can go to our YouTube channel, Jonah, T for Tom 48. There's some great information there. And please go to Amazon and purchase Christine's book, Explain This. And it's a verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation. You'll love it. Really be blessed by it, okay? Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.